Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us. Your number is 877-217-5757. We have Congressman Garrett Graves with us, who represents Baton Rouge and much of South Louisiana in the U.S. House of Representatives. And he, along with his colleague from Louisiana, Cedric Richmond, have filed a bill that is designed to de-escalate incidents and help law enforcement get non-lethal weapons that perhaps would avert the kind of incident we saw in the early morning hours of July 5th in which Alton Sterling was killed. The training would develop skills and techniques that would help officers better handle anger-provoking situations, and it is something that is worth our discussion, and that's why we're counting on some provocative comments from our congressman who represents the area where this show originates in Baton Rouge, Garrett Graves. Good afternoon, Congressman.
Hey, good afternoon, Jim. How you doing?
Doing well. What was the catalyst for this, other than the Sterling shooting?
Well, Jim, look, first of all, I was home last weekend and was around when the protests got more violent than they had been before. Watching something like this divide our community, I think, is the wrong direction. But at the same time, we were really struggling with what is it that we could do in terms of changing federal policy, federal legislation, to help prevent this from happening without the investigation being complete. You know, we didn't want to prejudge based upon a 45-second video. And so, look, there are two takeaways from looking at incidences like the Alton Sterling shooting and others. Number one, if he had complied with the police's orders, none of this would have happened. The second thing is, if the taser had actually neutralized or subdued the suspect or the person of interest in this case, then it wouldn't have escalated into what we saw. Now, I don't know what to do at this point about noncompliance. How do you make somebody comply with what law enforcement tells them to do? I don't know how to address that part of it yet, and I think that's what we've got to address as a dialogue within our community. But the second part, when a taser's not working, what other tools can we give to our law enforcement officers that can help prevent this from turning into the situation that we saw with Alton Sterling? Nobody wants violence and death. I certainly don't want it. But if we can provide better non-lethal or additional non-lethal tools to our law enforcement officers, if the taser didn't work, you could escalate to a different type of non-lethal technology or weapon. And if we can teach de-escalation techniques, that can help prevent these types of things from happening in the future. Now, I want to be clear. It's not the silver bullet solution. It's not going to address everything. But it's something that can be done that's incremental. And the fact that we were able to do this in a bipartisan way and I think showing some unity was something that was important to us as well.
HB in Denham Springs, good afternoon, HB. You're on the Jim Inkster Show with Congressman Garrett Graves.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Congressman, with all due respect to you and your colleague on this bill here, I'd like to ask you a question. It was pronounced today on another talk show host that your bill and your partner's bill was described as, quote, horse dung. My question is this. Is the ultimate goal of the federal government or local government, whatever, is that to disarm deadly force from all law enforcement agencies, period? And to turn them into just more or less mediators in the public? How do the police do their job if that is the ultimate goal without the technical equipment you're talking about, as far as I know, does not exist to subdue a subject, whether they be a mental patient or just a hardened criminal out of...
All right. What is your response? Thank you, HB. Garrett Gray.
I'm actually going to use HB's term. Those comments are horse dung, and I'll be clear. Number one, this is entirely a voluntary program, entirely voluntary. This isn't. It doesn't give any new authority. It doesn't establish a rule, regulation. It doesn't give Department of Justice any authority. All it does is make resources available for research, development, training, and for acquisition of new technology. It doesn't take guns away. It gives additional tools to law enforcement in the cases when they want it. In fact, HV, it has specific language in the bill that explicitly states that it doesn't provide any type of new authority or any type of restriction or contingency on a state or local law enforcement agency, nothing. So if you want to talk facts, I would love to talk facts about things such as our bill. But if people are going to talk, if people are going to make things up, then I don't know how to respond to that. It doesn't take anything away. And officers absolutely should have the best weapons available because they need to make sure that they continue to have better capabilities than the bad guys. And we will continue to do everything we can to make sure that our law enforcement community has all the tools they need to do their job safely.
Now, the bill, as I understand, would authorize about $150 million of spending in year one, $100 million the next 3 years, and $125 in year five. Can the country afford it?
Yeah. Jim, that's a good question. And also, again, we had a couple of phone calls yesterday, I think, and today, where we had to correct the record on this. So this gets into the kind of the minutia about how Congress does its spending. But the bill will actually result in a reduction in spending. And I know it gets kind of confusing. I'm going to try and quickly explain. The bill authorizes funding. That doesn't spend funds. It authorizes it, which makes us eligible next year in the appropriations bill to seek appropriations funding. Okay, so the bill doesn't actually spend money itself. It simply makes it eligible for appropriations in a subsequent appropriations bill. Despite that fact, we actually included language that will require a reduction in real spending to the tune of up to $1.7 billion per year. Yet the bill in the first year, in its maximum year, only authorizes $150 million in spending. So if in a subsequent appropriations bill, we decide to reprioritize funding and actually fund this program next year or later this year, you would end up with a net reduction in spending by even though you're appropriating funding for this bill. I know it doesn't, it's somewhat confusing. I am happy to explain this to anyone. It just goes back to the crazy appropriations and funding and budget process here in Congress. But, you know, Jim, what you've got to do is you've got to look carefully at the fact that all of these shootings result in lawsuits and millions of dollars in expenses, whether it's the protest or paying off attorneys after these lawsuits. So we're spending money today. Plus, you've got to think about the lives of these officers that are being threatened right now, which is so inappropriate. So there's a lot of money that's being spent. This is simply reprioritizing funds and trying to avert these violent and deadly situations. And if I can say one more thing quickly in regard to HV's statement earlier about these technologies not existing, actually there absolutely are technologies that exist today that our military is developing and using in some cases that are non-lethal technologies that could be civilianized for law enforcement use. And I'm happy to provide a list of those if he'd like them.
All right.
But there are a number of technologies out there today.
We'll spend one more segment with Congressman Garrett Graves after this brief two-minute timeout on the Louisiana Radio Network. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us. 877-217-5757, your number. Garrett Graves, the congressman from Baton Rouge and much of South Louisiana, is with us for another segment, and we're talking about a bill that he and Cedric Richmond, congressman from New Orleans and Baton Rouge, have co-filed. The new Justice Department office would look at technology being developed by the military and the Office of Homeland Security and then try to refine it for law enforcement. Additionally, it would look at developing new technologies for weaponry that are short of lethal. Now, Garrett Graves, it is curious that you and a Democrat have come to a consensus on this and are moving forward. That sometimes is not an easy thing to accomplish, but obviously on this issue, you and Congressman Richmond appear to be on the same page.
We are, and Jim, I think that this just goes back to looking at this not as an incident that should divide us, but something that should bring us together. We need to be working together to prevent these types of deaths and the protests and everything else. I mean, this isn't good for anyone. And, you know, there are a lot of things that Congressman Richmond and I don't agree on, an awful lot of things. Our voting records are very, very different. But certainly coming in and coming up with providing some interim solutions to help provide additional tools to law enforcement is something that we can work together on, we do agree on in this case, and it's part of an interim solution, part of an overall package that I'm hopeful many people can come together on moving forward.
Now, another development over the last few days is a significant amount of federal money that will go to Baton Rouge for the road situation, the traffic problems that have snarled the city for some time. How did this come about?
Well, one of the first things, well, let me take a step back and just say, when we were traveling around South Louisiana, one of the most pervasive things that we hear is about traffic problems, particularly in the capital region. And as you know, we have some of the worst traffic in the nation for a mid-sized region. As a result of that, one of the first things we did was work to get put on the Transportation Committee, where we can have a real say in national transportation policy. We got on the committee. We were able to negotiate a $500 million increase in funds for the state of Louisiana by being part of the final negotiating team, one of the only freshmen on it. And we included a few amendments to the bill that helped Louisiana compete in some of these grant programs. This year, there were $1.3 billion in grants. Closing the Washington Street exit is something that we began advocating for in 2014. This grant became available, and we began working to get those funds awarded to the state of Louisiana. Funds were ultimately awarded, I think, to some degree as a result of the provisions that we included in the bill and because we were able to help establish this grant program. And we're really excited that this is going to be a step forward in eliminate the only place in the nation where the interstate drops to a single lane. But look, let's be clear, Jim. We have a lot of other things, impediments and challenges in regard to our traffic that we have to address, including ultimately a new crossing of the Mississippi River. But very excited we were able to get this done, and it's a first step of many that we're hopeful we can address to improve traffic in the capital region.
Today, Donald Trump, the Republican nominee-to-be for this year, he'll be nominated next week. He announced his running mate, Mike Pence, the former congressman, current governor of Indiana. He served a dozen years in the U.S. House, and you, of course, have worked on Capitol Hill for other people. Do you know Congressman Pence?
I've met him. To say I know him is a stretch, but I have met him before. He's known as being a strong conservative, as having a good policy background and principle. I think he definitely complements the Trump ticket with someone who truly understands how government doesn't work, meaning that I think he's enough has enough experience, and that he knows that government is fundamentally broken in Washington, but has some of the skills that are needed to really come in and make the changes and help achieve some of the goals that Trump has articulated.
Will you be attending the convention?
We're planning on going up on Monday and Tuesday, as you know. Qualifying for Louisiana for candidates is next week, and so we certainly plan on being mm-hmm. around for that.
Sounds like you're running for re-election.
Absolutely, we are. You know, the last 18 months have been just a real incredible learning experience, but more importantly, we have been able to make some very good progress in a lot of the things that people have prioritized for us in South Louisiana in terms of being some of the real goals, whether it's infrastructure work, it's some of the fisheries issues, some of the FEMA reform, many, many things that the energy imports, a lot of the real priorities that folks in South Louisiana have communicated. Made a lot of progress in reducing spending and cutting budget and moving us in the direction of greater efficiency in government. But there is an awful lot of work left to do, and we're going to run again and looking forward to continuing to make progress to address people's fundamental frustrations with the dysfunction of the federal government. I mean, look, it's why I ran, because I was frustrated.
Well, Congressman, we thank you for joining us, and it's always a pleasure to talk with you, and we'll see where your legislation goes with Cedric Richmond, but it has opened a conversation, which is usually a good thing. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely, and we're looking forward to getting more input and moving it through the process. But, Jim, thank you very much. Appreciate it, and y'all have a good day.
You too. We're back after this timeout. We're slated to hear from Colonel Rob Manus, and he'll talk about the selection of Mike Pence as Donald Trump's running mate after this timeout on the Louisiana Radio Network.